What does it mean to connect to your future at Lake Michigan College? They connect you to your future opportunities. They partner with local industries and employers, ensuring their programs align to the needs of the community's workforce. Lake Michigan College can help you get to the future you want. Visit lakemichigancollege.edu.
If you missed any part of the morning show with Johnny and Ken, well, this is where you can catch yourself up. Or if you just want to relive all of those award-winning moments, you can do that with this wonderful podcast. And it's made possible by our friends at Lake Michigan College. Connect to your future. Visit lakemichigancollege.edu.
Be part of the show anytime, 925-WSJM. Email letstalk@WSJM.com. And when you call, if we don't catch you, be sure to leave a voicemail. I see we'll get missed calls every once in a while. And I'm like, I want to know what you want to say. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Other things going on today.
Did you have a good weekend?
Weekend was good. Busy weekend.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired from the busy weekend because I had to wake up early on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Because my brothers were in town, my oldest brother, and then my brother that's a little bit older than me.
Okay.
They were in town. I have four brothers, by the way, for anybody keeping track.
You're the youngest.
I'm the youngest of five.
And you have four brothers. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
So, yeah. They were in town, and they were like, hey, will you wake up early on Saturday morning and make us grandma pancakes? Now, my grandmother, old German woman, but liked to make... I guess you call them crepes or the kind of like Swedish pancakes, very thin, really, really thin pancake.
The crepes.
Yeah, the crepes.
Crepes.
Crepes, tomato, tomato.
I call them
crepes.
I think most people call them crepes.
Yeah. Oh, you're one of those people.
But they're like drapes.
Yeah,
crepes.
Yeah, crepes.
All right, okay. Crepes.
All right.
It's probably crepe. Yeah. Yes, I do the...
Do you just automatically have a thin mustache and a beret every time you say it?
I do.
Oh, jeez. All right. Anyways, yeah, so I'm one of the few that knows how to make it and make them well. My brothers are like, yeah, we know the recipe. We know how we've tried and we fail.
Okay.
So I have to make them every time they come in.
Nice.
So I had to do that on Saturday morning.
Well, but wait, what's the recipe?
The recipe is, as my mother said, the way that my grandmother used to, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. There's really no written down recipe because even my brothers have tried to write it down.
Right.
They're like, okay, so how many eggs? And I was like, well, it's dependent on how many people you're going to have and how much of this. It's pretty much the same ingredients as a pancake.
Right.
But it's more of certain things. It's like more eggs.
Okay.
Less mix, less pancake flour. And yeah, it's anyways.
So the eggs are making it super rich.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. Nice and thin.
Okay.
And delicious. And then they just top it with fruit and whatever.
Yum.
That so I had to make great. A stack of those.
How'd you do?
I did great. I mean, I was fantastic, as always.
Do you find the first pancake is always the worst one?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes
I can never get the first one right.
It's the tester.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the making sure the pan is hot enough kind of tester, where it's like, pan wasn't hot enough. All right. We're just gonna put that at the bottom of the stack.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what I ended up doing is I ended up making regular pancakes yesterday morning.
Okay.
So I had a pancake weekend.
Wow, that's a lot of pancakes.
It's a lot of pancakes.
That's fun.
I'm just going to have salad today. But
do you put Nutella on it?
No.
Peanut butter?
No, I am not a fan of Nutella.
Okay.
I do not like the hazelnut spread.
It's yum. I usually put peanut butter on mine. My boys have become addicted to the Nutella thing, the hazelnut spread. Yeah. And I mean, it's just basically sugar.
Yeah.
It's just sugar.
It's like having chocolate, but it's healthier because it's nuts.
It's not healthy.
It's not.
Not
it's
at all.
Not. What about you? You hung out with the kids, right?
Hung out with the boys this weekend. We went shoe shopping, which is always an experience.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to put my lead foot down. I wanted to say, look, you're lucky to be getting anything on your feet. Just get those and let's go. But no, I wanted to see, you know, what do you want? What kind of brand? They were totally into the New Balance shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, the 990s or the 909s. I don't know what they are, but they're very fancy.
So not...
Fortunately.
Not like the dad lawn mowing shoes.
No, no.
These are a different style.
Well, this is for Stuart. He's going back to college this week.
Yeah.
And he says, Dad, I do a lot of walking. These are really important. It's like, okay, I get it. We'll get you nice, you know, whatever shoes you're comfortable with. But they didn't have the model he was looking for.
What are they, the 909s?
I don't know. 909s or 990s or something. There's a couple of nines in it. But they're New Balance. And they're nice. But they didn't have them where we went. And
those are classic. Okay? They're just basic.
Yeah, just basic shoes. Every other shoe looks like that. Why couldn't you have any other shoe?
They're the basic run/walk type shoe.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, he couldn't. Well, so finally, I think he ended up on Brooks. He tried some Under Armour. He tried some New Balance. Brooks were the final choice.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many different types of shoes did he try on? Jeez.
Yeah. And it's funny because Sawyer kept bringing over goofy shoes.
Of course.
Yeah, at first he brought over these little tiny made for a 5-year-old boots.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's that's not even my size. And so he goes back and he finds like these big Hirken boots. They're size 14 or something like that. I don't know what they were.
This son sounds like me because I would do the same thing to my brothers all the time. My brothers would try to be serious. And of course, I can never be serious. So I was like, I'm going to try these on.
Took about an hour. Let's see what else. We got donuts yesterday with my mom. She really enjoyed that. Trying to think what else. Yeah, spiders all over the place. Yeah, it's spider season.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Spiders everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Making the big webs. Beautiful weekend, though. The weather was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was nice. And yesterday was the no reports yet on what the truck pull, the street legal truck pull at the Berrien County Youth Fair, how that went. But we're waiting to hear word on how that was. But the truck and tractor pull, like the NTPA, big time, big old tractors.
Loud one.
That's going to happen tonight in the grandstands. I think tickets still available for that. And then there's a ton of other really, really good grandstand shows.
Yeah. Well, and let's see. Friday night, they announced the royalty. The 2023 Berrien County Youth Fair royalty was announced. So congratulations to Elizabeth King, who was ironically named the Queen.
Elizabeth King is Queen.
Yeah.
Nice.
King Ryan Murphy, first runner-up to Queen, Evie Claire. First runner-up to King, Aiden Conley, Princess Zara Dyer, and Prince Corbin Blair.
Nice.
So that's the royalty. Judging today includes halter and driving equine classes, goats, rabbits, llamas, cats, and sheep. They have cats at the fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The showing of the cats is one of my favorite events.
Oh, do you have a little Persian cat and just
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay. Cradle it in your arms and just,
Yeah.
It's in the grandstand.
You just immediately go into like a villain, super villain. You're like, they'll never know my plan.
$1 million. Wow. Grandstand starting in the morning are the Garden Farm and Farm Stock tractors. And tonight, as you mentioned, Johnny, is the NTPA Regional Tractor Pull. As a reminder, the rides begin tomorrow at 11 a.m.
So, yeah, when you go there, you're pretty much just going to watch grandstand shows or eat food.
Yeah, today's the animals and watching the animals, eating the food, seeing
the
tractors.
Why aren't the rides happening until tomorrow?
I don't know.
Don't they roll those in? Like, is today like the testing day? Yeah. Make sure everything's good to go?
Today's the day the animals get to ride. This is their day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I'm making
cats,
that up.
Yeah, the cats and the goats.
They put the cats on the tilt-a-whirl.
We'll say I would pay somebody to show me a goat in a Ferris wheel. If you could have a goat in a Ferris wheel, I'd watch that all day.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, just like,
that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Yeah.
It's wow. We need to just end the show. The show.
No, this is fine.
We've hit our peak already.
Should we go to some news items?
Yes.
Something we reported late Friday, because you always bury news on Friday if you don't want to talk about, unless it's the morning show and then we bring it around on Monday. There will be no Ironman 70.3 Steelhead Triathlon in Benton Harbor next year.
Yeah, what the heck, man?
No further Ironman competitions for the foreseeable future.
Wow.
Yeah. Ironman race organizers and the race's major sponsor confirmed this, and Ironman said not the Ironman, but the Ironman race organizers, said, after thoughtful consideration and evaluation of our race calendar for 24, we've made the decision to discontinue the triathlon in Benton Harbor. We're grateful to Benton Harbor and the city of St. Joe for hosting us and would like to thank sponsors for their support. Maytag Brand was the major sponsor for many years. They've been involved since it came to the area. Whirlpool Corporation, it said they were informed by the organization that Ironman had decided to discontinue the event in Benton Harbor. The organization, this is interesting, because Whirlpool Corporation put out the statement saying the organization cited unpredictable weather as the reason for discontinuing the race.
What?
The first reaction was, I thought it was an Ironman competition.
Yeah. We would like to test the toughness of these individuals, but... oh, it's raining. We can't.
I mean, yes, sometimes the weather was unpredictable, but where isn't it?
Right.
I don't
exactly,
know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're just going to go somewhere else and then hope that, oh, well, the weather in Duluth, Minnesota around the summertime is much better.
I don't understand this.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, it won't happen in Benton Harbor anymore. There's still an event, I think, in Traverse City.
Okay.
So it'll still
How's
be...
How's the weather any different?
It's not.
It's probably worse in certain times of the year.
Could be snowing. You never know.
Yeah.
But so that was a shocker. It came through on Friday afternoon. We'll continue to watch that because what I'm seeing online is just a lot of surprise. They're looking for some sort of replacement to fill the vacuum for that athletic event. So we'll see.
Wow. Yeah. Really? Rain?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you don't want to be swimming in the lake and then all of a sudden there's a lightning storm.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good, or you're riding your bike, but come on, the weather.
I mean, it's weather. You're running the Ironman
triathlon.
You're
an Ironman.
And I think there was an hour delay this year, an hour, and that was it.
Yeah.
And it didn't, talking to a couple of people who were in the race, they did just fine. Swam, biked, ran. Anyway,
all right.
Should we talk about the second big lake swim ending?
Oh, yeah, because, swimming, moving to another swimming related thing.
Brian Huffman,
what's going on there?
Yeah, Brian Huffman. So we had talked about another individual earlier this year. I think it was Jim Dreyer, who wanted to swim Lake Michigan for his 60th birthday, and that was called off. Well, Brian Huffman was going to swim it this weekend, and he started out early Saturday morning. He was going from Wisconsin to Ludington, and straight line, it's about 50 miles, but because of the way the currents go, he was thinking about 60 miles. It would take him about 30 hours to do.
Jeez.
So he took off early Saturday morning, and everything was going to plan, probably, I don't know, about 10, 12 hours into it. But then Saturday night, one of the accompanying boats with him apparently had some mechanical issues, started going off course.
Oh, no.
So they had, and that was one of his support boats. So he had to stop. They hung out. They did the mechanical repair. And what he said was, after 40 minutes of treading water next to the boat, he was getting cold. He learned from the crew that they had only made it 12 miles from shore. He says he swam about 25 miles, but due to the strong current, there were periods where he was basically swimming in place. So while they were stopped for the repair, they drifted back another 2 miles. And at that point, with a limping boat, hypothermia, and an unrelenting current that he said would make crossing nearly impossible, he decided it was time to say, nope, not this time.
What's up with that route? Is that route cursed? Because that's pretty much the same route that the SS Badger takes from Ludington to Manitowoc.
Well, when it's running.
When it's running, yeah. But it's boats are breaking down.
Yeah.
Is that like the Bermuda Triangle of Lake Michigan?
Something's happened.
Oh, that's weird. Well, I hope he is able to, probably not this year then. He's probably not going to try and still do it. So maybe better luck next year, I guess.
Yeah, he'll try. I'm sure he'll probably think about trying again. Last year, he swam across the English Channel, which is a shorter distance than I think what he was trying for here. And he was raising for his Lake Michigan swim. He was raising money for the Holland Aquatic Center Foundation. He raised $20,000, and he hopes to continue with more swims and more fundraising because he doesn't like to see people drown. He says they're doing a good job up in Holland.
That's awesome.
Teaching people to swim.
Facebook, the X is what I think they call it. I think they call it the X.
Oh, it's the X?
I don't know.
The X?
I heard somebody the other day when I was listening to the radio, they're like, yeah, follow me on the X.
Hmm.
I don't know. Anyways, we're on social media. You can find us real easily. Go to our website, see all those.
One of my sons asked me this weekend, if you had an opportunity to talk to Elon Musk, what would you ask him about Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter?
Oh, like a one question?
Yeah, well, kind of thing? And I made it a two-parter. It's like, well, what's your objective here, and how do you know you're on the right track?
Because
I really want to know. What the heck's he doing with X?
The guy's had some successful business ventures.
Yeah, one or two. I mean, he's got rockets. He's got tunnel things. The Boring Company is fun to see.
Yeah, and then he was the PayPal guy. He started PayPal. Made a bunch of money there.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's got some good ideas. He also has some really bad ideas. And I don't really know what he's doing with that. But
having
anyways.
Fun. He's living his fullest life.
Yeah.
There you go.
We've been watching the news quite a lot past few days, and most of it, especially even today, still a lot of talk about the devastating fires that have been still kind of ongoing destruction that's happening in Hawaii, in Maui.
Yeah, death toll still rising, and it currently stands at least 96 in Maui. In a video update released yesterday, Hawaii Governor Josh Green said more than 2,700 structures were destroyed in Lahaina, and an estimated value of $5.6 billion has gone away. But you can't even comprehend the number of lives that have been lost, and the number that are still of people that are still reported as missing. Governor Green said the response has been comprehensive in the past several days. He says they're bringing the full force of government to try to do all they can to alleviate suffering. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is overseeing the federal portion of the response in Hawaii. They've got several hundred personnel on the ground there. They have had a lot of time to look at what's happening, and ultimately they started discussing, well, we will rebuild. That's the sentiment there. Hawaii officials are urging tourists to avoid traveling to Maui, as many hotels prepared to house evacuees and first responders. Again, about 46,000 residents and visitors were flown out of West Maui since the devastation in Lahaina became clear last week.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they said it's the deadliest U.S. wildfire in more than 100 years.
Crazy.
And it was kind of the perfect storm of disaster, with the fires starting and then the hurricanes rolling through and the wind blowing and just damaging everything.
Yeah, the fire started. Still no official cause on that, but I think all are speculating that it was natural causes that started the wildfire, but then it was natural causes that caused it to just flame.
Completely spread.
Spread through very, very quickly.
And everything's not even damaged. It's just
decimated.
Half of it's just gone.
Yep.
Decimated. So that's sad.
Yep.
Other things in the news, going stateside, actually, right here in Michigan is, there was a air show. There's air shows a lot. There was actually the air show, yesterday at the Blueberry Festival in South Haven, but this is another one that happened, on the other side of the state.
That's right. Ypsilanti area, a small jet crashed at the Thunder Over Michigan Air Show Sunday after both occupants of the plane ejected. Officials said the two people in the plane did not appear to be seriously injured. The two occupants parachuted from the MiG-23 fighter jet south of Willow Run Airport and landed in Belleville Lake. Federal Aviation Administration said the plane's occupants were being treated at a local hospital for minor injuries. The aircraft crashed into a parking lot of an apartment building in Belleville, striking unoccupied vehicles. So very, very fortunate there. I mean, imagine a parking lot of an apartment complex. If the plane had just moved over a little bit and hit an apartment complex, that could have been a very different situation.
Wow.
Yeah. Pilots and the backseater successfully ejected from the aircraft before the crash. The authorities said while it did not appear that they sustained any significant injuries, as we said, they went to the hospital as a precaution.
Okay. Wow.
Cause of the crash still under investigation.
Jeez.
Yep.
Crazy. Staying in that east side of the state, just down over to down over yonder to Ann Arbor. I don't know. Is it yonder? Is it yonder from Ypsilanti?
Over yonder, I would say it's up a little bit.
Up a little bit? Yeah. Yonder? That's still yonder.
Yonder would be lateral, I would think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That's how you yonder?
I would yonder that way.
All right. All right. Anyways, yonder. We're wandering.
From here, it's over yonder.
It is over yonder.
Okay.
So we've been kind of keeping our eye on this whole University of Michigan football head coach, Jim Harbaugh. He's had some controversy and possible suspension looming. Well, looks like an agreement between the NCAA and Jim Harbaugh concerning those penalties stemming from what the NCAA deemed to be false statements that Harbaugh made to investigators has broken down. And an industry source said to Yahoo Sports that they've come to a tentative resolution that would see the coach serve a 4-game suspension to begin the 2023 season. Multiple former assistants were also sanctioned. The deal still needed approval from the NCAA's Committee of Infractions. Many believe that would be a formality. However, the deal is now off.
Yeah, off the table.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA pulled the plug, right?
Yeah. They said, hey, we'll think about this sometime in the offseason of 2024. Mm. So now he's expected to coach every game of the Wolverines season. Now, really, those first like 4 games were not really going to be ones that they would really be worried about. Mm. But it's always good to have the head coach on the sidelines.
You would think. What was really telling to me was the NCAA's statement that they put out about this. I don't know if you read the fine print on this, but it said the Michigan infractions case is related to impermissible on and off campus recruiting during the COVID-19 dead period and impermissible coaching activities -not a cheeseburger. Not a cheeseburger. So obviously I'm looking at that statement saying, this was impermissible activity, not a cheeseburger. What they were saying was apparently in reaction to, maybe I bought somebody lunch.
Yeah, you know,
this, that, and the other thing.
It's not a big deal.
This is a big deal. It wasn't over you buying a cheeseburger for an athlete. Mm-hmm. You're going to be investigated.
Yeah, it's bigger than that. So we'll see what ends up happening. We were just talking about this a little bit because this is something that they had been going on and been looming for a while, and they were like, we'll push this off to the 2024 season. Now it's a small suspension. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like a pretty big infraction, bigger than a cheeseburger. Even though a cheeseburger does sound delicious.
You know you can indict a ham sandwich, but apparently Harbaugh's actions were bigger than a cheeseburger.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But this makes me wonder, like, 4-game suspension, is he... He keeps talking about the fact that he's not going to go to the NFL. He's going to stay with the University of Michigan. But I've known other coaches in the past that have kind of dodged the suspension by saying, how about I go and play? How about I go, not play, but how about I go and coach in the NFL and I won't have to deal with your suspension? And then when you guys kind of forget about it after a while, I'll make my way back. This has happened with, I know Urban Meyer, who coached at Ohio State for a while. He had some suspensions looming. I think he just said, I'm just going to go coach over there in the NFL for a little bit. I'm not going to do a very good job. I'll probably get fired. But, hey, I'll make some money, and you guys won't have to worry about me for a while.
I mean, my understanding is the NCAA hasn't even delivered an actual notice of allegations yet, which is
they're still reviewing everything.
They're still looking at everything. It's still kind of hush-hush and under the radar. If as you open the door for there, if Jim Harbaugh decides, the investigation's going to happen, I'm going to coach this season, and in the meantime, I'm going to negotiate a contract with an NFL team. Does this hanging over him present any problem whatsoever?
I could see
maybe a PR problem.
I could see the NFL, any of the teams, if he did try to do this, if he did try to just jump over to the pros, I could see the commissioner and as well as the commissioner stepping in. But even before that, I could see the other team saying, we're not going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. We've already got enough PR problems that we've had to deal with coaches in the past couple years. So we're going to, we're just going to hold off on doing that.
I could easily see it going the other way too, where they say, yep, very serious, pay that $1 million. Okay, now come coach us.
Right. Because he's a great coach. He does a good job, mainly in college. He's coached in the pros before and made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So he's a good coach, but he wasn't really, like, even last season, there was that whole idea of him going over to the pros and him even talking with some of the teams. But he wasn't, like, the top of the list for any of the teams. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I think he'll stay. I think they'll figure this out. I think the fact that it's being kind of pushed to the back burner and waiting until 2024, it may go from a 4-game suspension to practically nothing. Maybe some sort of fine of some kind. Or it goes from the 4 and then they find out more things as they investigate. And they're like, maybe this is worse than we thought.
Yeah. Maybe it becomes a cheeseburger eating contest.
Maybe it becomes a double cheeseburger.
Or triple.
Ooh. If it becomes a triple cheeseburger, that's a problem for everybody. But we'll just have to wait and see. But for you U of M fans, you get Harbaugh for the whole entire 2023 season.
For now.
So we'll see. Michigan State University, I don't know, were they doing like some digging or were they working on like some landscaping and they found something? What was going on?
When you were a kid, did you ever get sent outside with a shovel or a trowel and just like, all right, just go dig in the yard? Just go dig in the yard. Stay out of my hair. I'm making dinner. I'm doing whatever. Just go. That used to happen to me. And I used to just have a lot of fun. Just go out and dig. And eventually I would pretend I was an archaeologist excavating the tomato garden.
See, I grew up on a 50-acre farm. So you
got to dig all the time.
We dug all the time. It was get on the four-wheeler, go ride around for a while, get on the tractor and go just make a mess.
You guys had motorized things.
Oh, we had all kinds of stuff, man. We made a lot of messes in different places.
Earlier this summer, Michigan State University facilities crews were trying to install some hammock posts close to the student residences near West Circle Drive when they encountered a hard, what they called impenetrable surface under the ground.
There was cement that happened to be, there used to be a sidewalk here or something like
that. They thought it was either a large rock, an old sidewalk maybe, a building foundation. Crews know better than to just keep digging, so they called MSU's Campus Archaeology Program. And after cross-checking old maps, campus archaeologists determined that it was the foundation of the first observatory on MSU's campus.
That's cool.
Yeah, the observatory constructed back in 1881.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of gives a look back at life, they say, as well, campus life back 140 plus years ago. So working closely with the archives department, MSU campus archaeologist and anthropology doctoral student Ben Akey conducted most of the research to confirm that the discovery was indeed the foundation of the first campus observatory. He says it gives us a sense of what early life looked like in the late 19th century on campus. He says that the original campus observatory was built and used at a time when Michigan Agricultural College, what would then become MSU, was a radically different institution with only a handful of professors and a relatively small student body.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you're telling me the hammock not going to be there?
Well, wait.
For the fall?
I'm just thinking they're constructing hammocks for the students. Yeah. Why?
Well,
why are they letting them lounge around?
Well, it's a hangout area because what? There's a hall nearby, like a residence hall.
Yeah, Willis Hall. Willis House is nearby.
Yeah,
Willis
so they want just a little place to hang out and enjoy the. Maybe do some studying while laying in the hammock.
Gaze at the stars,
Gaze at the stars.
It was a nice place to do it.
Yeah.
So
perfect perfect line of sight to the skies.
Don't know what they have planned there. You ask, are they going to continue to build the hammocks? Don't know. Unknown. Undecided as if yet.
It sounds like the archaeological classes are going to have a new assignment and they start as they start in the fall. I bet they might be doing some excavating to kind of see if there's any other cool finds in there.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, MSU Observatory. They found it.
Other things in the news, yeah. I don't know if you've been watching. Are you a Wheel fan? Do you like the Wheel of Fortune?
Not as much as Family Feud. I do like the Feud.
Really?
I love the Feud.
Yeah. Like which version? Do you like Steve Harvey hosting?
Yeah, Steve Harvey hosting is a lot of fun. But unfortunately, because we cut the cable, we cut the cable.
Oh, yeah.
We have YouTube. You can't see it on the local channel. They black it out. It's like one thing that's blacked out on YouTube.
I did see that.
It's the darn Family Feud. It makes me so mad.
So I can watch the news, but I can't watch Feud.
You can watch anything.
Except
for Family Feud.
Well, why did they do that?
I don't know. Some kind of syndication agreement. Who knows?
Geez.
Steve Harvey says, nope, you want to do the web stuffs?
Well, you know, there's been some drama with this whole Wheel of Fortune switchover with Pat Sajak going to be retiring at the end of the season. Apparently, Vanna White's not going to be in some of the upcoming episodes.
She is so mad. She's so mad.
Yeah, and for this reason, it's not because of her contract disputes and negotiations. It's actually because she got sick when they were filming some of the episodes back in late July of Wheel of Fortune for their annual Teacher Week.
Oh.
So she was out. So the Teacher of the Year recipient, Bridget Donald Blue, took her place for that week's worth of episodes. Now, those, I think, are coming up here pretty soon. Now, also, there's contract negotiation issues with Vanna White, who's trying to get her first raise since 18 years ago, which is crazy.
I thought you were going to say 1881.
No, speaking of a long time ago.
That's when the observatory was constructed.
Right. So you won't see her because she was sick during the time of the filming. But yeah, that will raise all that speculation. Like, wait a minute.
So
what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, like the blue flu or something like that. This wasn't part of the SAG-AFTRA. I wonder if she's part of SAG-AFTRA.
They said that she had COVID back late July.
No.
She was sick. So she was gone for most of that Teacher Week.
But she's better now.
She's better now, but
and still angry over the contract.
Still angry over all of that. Now, yeah, I believe, I would assume she's part of the SAG-AFTRA as well. So, or maybe with that, she's going to have those contract negotiations, but also the SAG-AFTRA stuff. So we'll see what happens with Wheel of Fortune, because as we've talked about before, Pat Sajak is going to retire, and then Ryan Seacrest is going to take over as the new host. So we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know if they're... I know on the Jeopardy side, especially one of the hosts, Mayim Bialik, she said, yep, I'm going to sit out this whole... Until this writer strike is figured out, I'm going to sit out as the host.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of your favorite shows, like Wheel and Jeopardy, and I'm sure a lot of the other ones, going to be postponed.
So the Teacher of the Year is filling in for Vanna White?
The Teacher of the Year is going to do Vanna White's job.
I wonder how he or she does. Is it a he or she?
It is Bridget Donald
Blue. I'm going to say she.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wonder how she does. I wonder if they consider her for replacing Vanna. Yeah. If the contract negotiations don't go so well, just looked it up. I don't know if Vanna White has a SAG-AFTRA card, but I do know that they decided they're going to keep filming.
Okay.
Even through the strike.
Well, all right. Well, we'll see what ends up happening, because I don't know when that contract negotiations are going to be figured out.
Well, hopefully by the time Pat Sajak retires.
You'd hope so, because that'd be tough for Ryan Seacrest, you know, because...
A hostile environment.
Yeah, that's not a good thing, because Ryan Seacrest, he jumps into all these shows that are already established. The only one is like American Idol that he actually started from the beginning.
Yeah.
But all these other jobs that he's fallen into and taken over. But this would be a tough gig if all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, you're the new guy, and a lot of people don't like you.
But isn't that exactly his gig? Is he'll be both Pat Sajak, and then it's like, oh, well, there's an opening over there, Vanna White. I'll just do that, too. So he'll jump back and forth.
Exactly.
They'll use the magic
of TV. Yeah, maybe that's what they'll do. They'll make it cheaper since they got to spend probably a good amount of money to keep Ryan Seacrest. Like, yeah, you host from the board.
Yeah, there you go.
From way back. Yeah, because... Speaking of circling back to Family Feud,
yes,
they don't have anybody flipping the things.
They got one person. They just go and survey says, yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. Maybe they'll put a robot or something over there, a little AI.
AI can do it. Watch out, Vanna.
I saw the robot again at the grocery store.
Oh, what was it doing?
I think it growled at me. It was weird. I walked by somebody else that was working there that was stocking and doing whatever. And the robot thing was checking the aisles. And I'm pretty sure when I walked past it, I went, I was like, did you just growl at me? And it went, that was weird.
That would be really funny. You know, the proximity sensor says, oh, buddy, somebody's too close. Instead of issuing a boring, banal warning, you could just have it growl. I like that.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it growled at me.
So that's fun.
There you go. I almost fought it.
Maybe they just, don't fight the robot. Maybe they, it's not Terminator. It's not Terminator.
No, you don't think I should have punched it?
Maybe they just need to oil the gears.
I'm going to punch it next time.
Don't punch the robot.
I'm going to punch the robot next time. You can't stop me.